Y'all don't wanna hear me, you just wanna dance.
Giving Ditto Monkeys the red ass is Bartkov.
Small sidebar about the Iraqi POW prison abuses. Years ago, Bush decided that we don't need Geneva Convention bullshit. He just decided that he was going to throw all that out the door because, well, as a general policy, rules don't apply to a Bush. John McCain was shot out of the air by the North Vietnamese, and the way I remember it, he broke both his arms and something else. And yes, they say he was tortured some, and not to minimize the torture, they said he hung there for a while by his arms. But it's also my understanding he got surgery from the North Vietnamese. They did something. They put his bones back together or something. Jessica Lynch, when they took her last year. The story goes, I wasn't there, and I have to rely on the whore press and Jessica's account, but she got surgery from these people, from the Iraqis. I remember one Iraqi nurse making the claim that they gave her fresh fruit and something else that they didn't have enough of to go around for their regular people, but they gave it to Jessica Lynch. The bottom line, when we get the POWs, we take off their clothes, we put pink panties on their heads, we force them to masturbate for the camcorder, and this all gets back to George Bush when he says, we don't play by the rules. When Bush made his little Napoleonic proclamation that we weren't going to play by the rules, I remember saying on the page the next day, you have just put our people in grave danger. Because if we're not going to play by the rules, why should they? Why should the Iraqi resistance have a higher ethics level than the United States? We're supposed to be the ones with all the ethics. We're supposed to be the better people. But somehow we're putting a military attack dogs on these naked detainees. And this is being recorded at noon on Monday, but I just now heard on Air America Radio, some United States estimates are that 80%, I'm sorry, I think it's United States, could be Red Cross. It's somebody credible. It's not an Iraqi man, but either the Red Cross or the Amnesty International or the United States, somebody said up to 80% of the people in these Iraqi prisons that we put there are innocent. They were rounded up off the streets. Hey, you're 25. You look like you could carry a gun. Get in the truck or we kill you. So the guy gets in the truck. Now he's naked and the top man on the pyramid and the homosexual pyramid while they're laughing and pointing and taking pictures of it and giggling and then sending that photograph to their friends back home. Boy, what a mess. And it all gets back to Bush because he says, we're not going to play by those rules. These aren't POWs. These are enemy combatants. And so by just switching the word, they don't have to, we're not stealing money. We're just reappropriating it. See, all you got to do is change one word and it's all legal. It's all fine. It's all moral. And this is the most Christ-like president we've ever had. Oh, please. Bush is the biggest disaster and the most immoral man ever to hold the presidency. And he didn't even earn that. He stole that with crooked three fingers Tony Scalia guiding his way into office over the Constitution and the will of the voters. Oh, we got a mess on our hands. You see what happens when a draft dodger is president? Do you see what kind of bungling mess of a quagmire he's got us into? Because he went AWOL instead of doing his duty. He swore an oath to the United States that he would do his duty, and then he took off and got drunk and did cocaine and went to Mexico to screw the hookers for a year and a half. And the soldiers forgive him for that, but they hate Bill Clinton because he had sex. Now, what the hell is wrong with our American military personnel that they love the bungler who's gotten 1,000 men killed for no reason? And here's Bill Clinton, who never sent a man into battle who didn't come home, and they hate his effing guts all the way to their soul. But they love the deserter who bought his way out of Vietnam and then drank and snorted his way through his desertion. They love him to death. George Bush, the man that sent them into battle without Kevlar, without guns, without armored personnel carriers. Here you go, boys. Here's a Humvee. It's cheaper than an APC. And if a few of you get shot and killed, well, hey, tax cuts for the rich is the most important thing. Sorry we didn't have enough money to give you the Kevlar or the water or the guns or the armor that you needed to go into battle in a war that I lied to get you into. And they love Bush. They love Bush. One reason the military had such a bad time under Clinton is because he arranged the American economy in such a position that a fellow making $18,000 in the Army, instead of reenlisting, he could go into the general workforce, the civilian workforce, and start out making $60,000 or $80,000 a year. Suddenly he's got four times the money. Suddenly he's got an extra $60,000 a year in his hands. Thank you, Bill Clinton. So they hate him for that. The military suffered a lack of recruitment while Clinton was in office because they knew they had somewhere else to go. You notice they don't have that problem now. They didn't have that problem under Reagan. They didn't have that problem under Bush the Smarter. All they could do was stay in the Army, because if they got out of the Army, they'd be homeless. At least with the Army, they have a roof over their head and some clothes and some meals. But when you don't have a job, you don't have a house, you don't have a car, you don't have clothes, you don't have money, you don't have anything. So you have to stay in the service. So they hate Clinton for that. They hate his guts. And they love the deserter that keeps them at $18,000 a year. What in the hell goes through the military mind? But before we close, remember, all these problems we're having with the POW torture, this is all Bush. America's king has decreed that the rules don't apply to us. No wonder most countries hate us. Look what we've become under the never-elected Führer. Oh, God, tell me it isn't so. Headline, lawsuit alleges abuse by Boston nuns. It just has to be nuns. And it just has to be Boston. Why is that? Nine former students of the Boston School for the Deaf filed suit alleging that they were raped and beaten by nuns at the now-defunct school. The plaintiff accused at least 14 nuns, a priest, a male athletic instructor, and a former top official in the Boston Archdiocese, according to Mitchell Garub, it don't matter, lawyer for 31 former students. 31 former students came forward. 31. And the way you multiply this out, what's that, 1 in 4 comes forward? So there was at least 100? Is that how we have to read this? 31 former students. The case is the first to allege widespread abuse by nuns since the clergy sex abuse scandal began in Boston in 2002. No, it began in the 1600s. You guys refused to report on it until 2002. When it came into, when it burst into flame in the middle of your face, then you went ahead and reported on it. But until then, you helped cover it up, you bastards in the press. The alleged victim, 3 women and 6 men. Wait, I thought you... They said 31 former students. Make up your mind. Don't make me look bad. The alleged victims, 3 women and 6 men, said they were 7 to 16 when they were sexually and physically abused from 1944 through 1977. William Shevel, a lawyer representing the school, promised to deal with this with sensitivity, respect, and dignity. Oh, yeah, don't you always. What is it with the Catholics? What is it? You know, I remember where we were. We were in Washington, D.C. in April of 2002 when this thing was bursting into full bloom. And here we are, May of 2004. Have they done a damn thing? I remember they were going to go, ooh, the big conference in Dallas. And went down there and they got behind a bunch of closed doors. And they said, we don't want to do the zero tolerance thing. We want a free shot if the kid's cute enough. So they agreed not to agree. And the church refuses to adopt the zero-tolerance policy of raping little boys. And people still give money to the Catholic Church. Do you believe that? Are you writing the Catholic Church a check every week? How can you do that without asking the head of your diocese or the head of your parish what they personally are doing to make this problem go away? How can you write a check to someone that continues to assist in the rapes of little boys? How can you do that? And another thing, don't know where I read it, but I saw it in the newspaper. I believe it was the Boston Diocese sold one building that they owned for $90 million to somebody. It was a big, giant-ass building. Don't know if it was a church or if it was property, if it was apartment complex, could have been a yacht club. Catholics own lots of property, but they sold one building for $90 million, and that, I think, because I thought the total of the lawsuits in Boston was $87 million, so they parted with one piece of property and made all their problems go away, at least the legal financial problems. They're still wrestling with the moral problems. This is just like General Motors and the exploding pickups. It's cheaper to pay a few defendants a million here, a million there that blew up in their truck because of the defective gas tank than it is to recall, whatever, 20 million pickups. Looks like the church is using the same tactic. Remember, Ford did it too. It was easier to pay the people who burnt up in a Pinto than it was to redesign the Pinto. Now we get to the Catholics. If they stall and stall and stonewall and hide and obfuscate and throw a big cloak over things and hide and just drag it out, and then eventually, when they finally get the gun put to the head, they say, okay, okay, I'll break off a piece of property for you. Now think, it's easier for them to stall and then at the last second break off a piece of property. That way they get to keep raping these little boys. Doesn't that upset you? That ought to upset you. Because they've got enough property to pay off the victims when they come forward, if they come forward. And this 1 in 4 theory. So they rape 100 little boys. 75 of them go on, live with it, commit suicide, drive off a cliff, burn up a church. The other 25 go through counseling. They get the courage to face their attacker. They file a lawsuit. So the church at the end breaks off a little piece of property to give to sell to somebody to pay these people, because that's easier than stopping the raping. I just can't believe, if you're writing a check, oh, let's not go there, I'll just lose subscribers. But yes, I believe Catholics should hold their church accountable, and you do it a parish at a time. You know, I got to tell you, I am jealous of Al Franken. And no, I'm not jealous because he has at least 1,000 times more money than I do. And I'm not jealous because he's at least 10,000 times more famous than I am. I don't want any fame. You can keep all the fame. And I'm not jealous of him because he has his own entire radio network distributed from coast to coast, with some gaps in between. No, I'm not jealous about that. What I am jealous of Al Franken about is that he knows somebody who will speak for Rush. If you listen to Al's show, you know, I guess it's every day. I've heard this guy almost every day, so I assume he calls in every day. He has a friend, a self-proclaimed diddlehead, call into his show, and Al plays a couple of lies that Rush told, and the poor bastard is asked to explain those lies. And sometimes he does better than others, but most times he's reduced to saying, well, yeah, I admit, you're right, he went a little too far. I don't think he's quite accurate there. And it's extremely awkward to be forced to answer for a lying Nazi pig who knows he's lying. He's not fooling himself. Rush is only fooling the easily led diddle monkeys who worship him. These people that call in and say, oh, Rush, you're the smartest, most honest, decent man I've ever heard. Geez, you know, these are the same people that say they love Bush because of all the great work he's done with the war and the economy. I'm just jealous of Franken that he knows somebody like that. You know, I've been on the internet since 95. Matter of fact, it was March 18th, 1995, when I was on Prodigy for years before that. But the big old web I didn't hit till March of 95. And from March of 95 until now, my good math, that's 9 years. I can't find anybody who will speak for Rush. Now and then I'll get a monkey ride in, say, oh, Rush is great, you're just stupid. But there's nobody who would check in with me on a regular basis. Doesn't have to be every day. Could be every Thursday. Could be the Defend Rush Thursday aspect of the show or the page. But there is nobody who will do that. And I'm just so jealous of Franken that he knows somebody that has the courage to defend a Nazi liar, and with my dozens of readers, we can't come up with anybody who will defend that lying SOB. I know he's lying, you know he's lying, Rush knows he's lying, but those poor diddle monkeys, oh, Rush, you're the greatest. Oh, I remember this one lady, oh, Rush, please have children so your genius will be passed down. Oh, God, lady, would I like to play some poker with you? So I am once again pleading. Surely everybody listening to this knows a smart-ass diddle monkey who's just waiting to be shut up. Well, I want you to start taunting your friend there. If it's your brother-in-law, some monkey at work, maybe your uncle or a cousin who is just so... Don't send me your parents, because I don't want to hack your parents up, but somebody you know who believes in Rush, tell them you know someone that wants to do some battle with them. We could do it by email, we could do it in the live chat room, or I'll call them on the phone and we'll record the conversation and put it on the radio show. But everybody knows somebody who wants to vehemently defend the vulgar pig boy, but you notice they're always too busy to do it with someone who can fight back. And we can't get too many of these. If 15 people all contact me and say, I got the guy, and he says he's ready to do it, hey, we'll take them all on, one at a time. We will chop them in. By God, we'll do a show a month, a radio show a month with them, or we'll do every Friday with nothing but diddle monkey slapdowns. It would be damn exciting to have some fresh blood in the game. I cannot locate anybody like that. Can't put something on the page that demands a reply. People are going to look at it and say, whoa, I don't want no part of that. And then they slither off. And then they find some meek little Democrat, some timid little dove that they can beat up and scream, Clinton murdered more people than Bush ever did. Oh, please, I'm sorry. Clinton's a good man, even if he murdered all those people, please. But no, we don't play that shit here. We fight back, and we win because we got the facts and we're right. So if you know anybody wants a piece of old Bart, please, please have them contact me. Have them call the BART phone, leave their number, send an email to Sam. That would be sam@bartcop.com. Tell her to put it in the urgent file, or somehow, I got to find me some diddle monkey, because it's just driving me nuts. I got all this debate rage built up inside of me, and nobody wants a piece. I hate that. Al Franken knows somebody. I'm so jealous of Al Franken.
BART Cop Radio. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.